Just to take a moment this morning on a bit of housekeeping. As some of you are aware, on Friday, a proposal for the 2020 General Conference in May for the United Methodist Church came out through various organizations, and it's called a Protocol of Reconciliation and Grace Through Separation. It's simply a recommendation and a proposal that will be voted upon on the highest legislative body of the United Methodist Church. But shortly thereafter that the various groups shared this information, the news caught wind of it and published headlines saying that a split was imminent for the denomination, that it was a foregone conclusion that the church would cease to exist, and that the end is near. Thank goodness Jesus never said that the church exists in the headlines. But here are some facts that are in this proposal. But first, a reminder that this is just a proposal. It's not fact, it's not established, it's not finalized. It'll run through the judicial council to make sure that it's appropriate. It'll probably be amended before it makes its way to the floor of General Conference in May. So it is just a proposal, but it is worth talking about since the news decided it's worth talking about. We need to make sure that we know what it's about. First off, the plan would allow the formation for a Methodist denomination that would disallow the participation of LGBT persons in leadership and will not perform same-sex unions. Second, the United Methodist Church would continue intact with the language disallowing same-sex unions and prohibiting LGBT persons from being ordained, which was added in 1972. That language would be removed from the Book of Discipline. Thirdly, the plan allows churches to decide or not to decide by the year 2024 whether they choose to remain part of the United Methodist denomination or not. And lastly, in this proposal, the plan calls for a moratorium on all complaints and charges that are filed based upon issues of human sexuality until the issues are resolved at the General Conference level. These are the facts of the proposal, and they're not debatable as what's written in the proposal. Now, I want it to be clear that I love the United Methodist Church, the church that raised me and the church I'm called to serve, and I love the people here at Fayetteville First United Methodist Church. What this means for us as a congregation, as this proposal is now public, is it doesn't mean anything for right now. It will mean something, and we'll get to that when we have time. Not today, but we will have time. But what means more is how we treat one another, how we speak to each other, and how we speak of those who are not present with us in fellowship and this congregation. As a point of reference, Fayette County has about 112,000 people who reside in this county. Now, let's be generous for a second and say that about 55,000 of those people, half the population, worships regularly in some house of worship or belongs to some kind of faith community. I think that's being generous, but let's, for the sake of argument, say half, about 55,000. That means there are 55,000 people in Fayette County, in our community, in this area alone, that may not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They may have never experienced the love of God in a place of worship. So ponder that for a moment. There is a world outside these walls wanting to know what difference the church, what difference Christ is going to make in their lives. Throughout this season of Nativity, we've talked about seeking, we've talked about searching, and waiting to find the light. And 4 weeks ago, we read about Jesse's stump and a shoot rising from it. And we had and extended the opportunity for people to share their points of light through ministries here in this congregation. This is just a sampling of what it is that this church does that makes a difference in people's lives. The church does not exist in the headlines. This church does not exist in the news. The church exists in the world to show the world the light of Christ, because the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. So what do we do from here as the denomination is making headlines? Well, first, I think we need to take every and any opportunity that we have to pray. To pray for the church, to pray for each other, to pray that God's will be done. Not our will be done, but God's will be done. Second, I think we need fellowship with one another, more so now than ever. Fellowship with people that we know we don't agree with. Fellowship not to convince one another of how right we are. Fellowship not to talk the most, but fellowship to be quick to listen and quick to love. To demonstrate through our actions and not our words what it means to be followers of Christ. I think that we should look to the words of Christ on what to do next. There's a story in Matthew's gospel in the 9th chapter. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but to call sinners." I think that's important, how we move forward. The conversations that we have, the decisions that we make, the people that we listen to. Are we seeking mercy first and foremost? Are we following the lead of the one who has come for the sick and the sinners? Now, I know that most, if not all, of everyone in this room, in this congregation this morning, has their mind made up about the issue of human sexuality. But I want you to take a moment and look around you this morning. Really do it. No, turn your heads and look around you. It's not rhetorical, it's real. Look around you. Sitting in the pews this morning are not issues. Sitting in the pew this morning are people. And not sitting in the pews this morning are not issues. Not sitting in the pews this morning are people. How we act as children of God points us to the reminder that we are not issues. That we are all God's children. And so this Epiphany Sunday, we are seeking. We are seeking to be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. We are seeking to be faithful to the Scriptures. We are seeking to be faithful to our own tradition as United Methodists. And we're seeking to welcome all people into the full life and ministry of the church, and more deeply, into the grace of God. We're seeking to live together with our brothers and our sisters across the world who are very different than us in different contexts, and to learn from one another. There's a reason I didn't do this announcement at the beginning during announcement time. And there's a reason I didn't make this part of the sermon based upon the scripture, because that would have tried to fit a round peg into a square hole. There's a reason why I brought this to our attention now in the context of worship, where we're aware of our preferences, of our biases, of our emotions, of our feelings, but we're also aware of God's presence, of God's glory, and of God's love. In the coming days, we will be sure to share information with you in the ways that we know how, as information is made available to us. This is the first conversation today that I'm having it with anyone. Even though it's one-sided, I'm doing all the talking. I know it's one-sided. We will have opportunities to have conversations, to share information, to point you in the direction of what is being said that is true, of what is being said that is helpful, and what makes us Fayetteville First United Methodist Church. But above all else, above all the sharing of information of General Conference, and above all the sharing of the petitions and the proposals, we as a congregation will continue to share the light of Christ, first and foremost, always and ever. So I'm going to close with these three suggestions from three different places. First, from John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, who said, "Though we may not all think alike, may we not all love alike." The second, from the author of 1 John in the 4th chapter, where he's writing to those who would seek to follow Christ, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God has loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. And thirdly, from Jesus Christ, where he says, the greatest commandment is this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. If we follow those three guidelines, then our church will continue to be a place where others come to experience God's love, not because we've made up our mind about the issues, but because we finally come to realize that God has made up God's mind about us, that we are loved, that you are loved, and that those 55,000 people in Fayette County who do not yet know the love of God are loved. May it be so as we move forward together.